The Angry Chicken is a production of amove.tv. Check out Amove TV for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. And for more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit jossplays.com. The Angry Chicken is brought to you by our legendary patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this.
You smell like a leper gnome!
I knew it!
So hot!
A podcast about Hearthstone and Battlegrounds. This is The Angry Chicken!
Greetings and welcome back, everyone, to The Angry Chicken. I'm Garrett, and, I appear to have a lack of a co-host. I guess the only thing that I can do is move along and talk about the Hearthstone news this week. And what was that? Where is all this glitter coming from? Was that a unicorn? No, it couldn't be. This could only mean one thing. She's back. After all this time, she's returned. Great. And I'm so glad I get to do this again. Please help me in welcoming. Ooh. She brings glitter and rainbows into every room she enters. She can sling spells from the back of unicorns. She can giggle at even the subtlest of inappropriate jokes. And her name is Jocelyn Curry!
You're back! You're muted!
I'm muted! Triumphant return!
Oh, shit! Oh, welcome back, Joss!
Oh, man, it's so, so good to be back. I was just saying to Garrett before the stream how freaking nervous I am, you guys. It feels like I've been away for like a year. Oh, my God. That was so good. The raining glitter, just yes.
Yeah. Podcast audio only listeners, do me a favor. Watch the video version, at least the opening part, please. It's the full effect. You gotta listen to it. But this is the longest break you have taken from this freaking program since we launched it in 2013.
Yeah, it was. It's the longest that I've taken a break from content creation, like period, ever. Like, as I don't know if everybody knows, but I started Gamers Inn in 2011. So it's been like legit 10 years of content creation, and I've never taken more than a week off at a time. So it was an okay break. I really appreciate you holding down the fort while I was gone. It was not the outcome I had hoped for, but I'm back, and you know, it's I'm glad to be here. I'm very, very glad to be here. I missed you guys. It was a really hard decision to step away, and it was completely health driven. And I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that you guys kept it going. I'm sad I missed a freaking expansion. Like, it feels like happened while I was gone.
Well, good news. The expansion actually waited for you. It was kind of broken when it first launched. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. I saw all of those tweets. But I had thoughts. Oh my God. I had thoughts. I was sharing some in the Discord, but like, yeah, I did not agree with the vast majority of the internet. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome, Joss. I mean, I miss you like hell. It's not the same without you. It's weird. We seem to have picked up this like third frame, this third chair.
Yeah, there's this weird like blank space over there, Garrett. Like, what's going on, man?
I don't know what to do about it, man. Joss, I'm gonna. You know, unrelated though, I did get this new. I got this new hat. I was curious what you thought about this hat. Would you say?
Well, I think it goes some people, pretty well with mine. I think.
Oh wow! Yeah. Okay. Because some people have been telling me that my hat is a tad. What's the word they were using? Wacky.
Ridiculous, maybe.
Oh, that.
Does that sound familiar? familiar.
You know, that reminds me. Yeah. Yeah. I think I know just who can fill that third seat. Yeah. Yeah. And if I remember correctly, his name is Ridiculous Head! Okay, that's enough of that bit. Okay. Dude, yeah, so if you're not picking up on what we're laying down, dear podcast listeners, please welcome to the show new permanent co-host, Ridiculous Hat.
Yay!
I have a soundboard too. I can do this too. Hi, everybody.
You can, but there's also the, like, the Discord noise gate thing. So we get like, we miss like the first half second of any sound you try to play.
Yes. Tech issues. How are those going for you?
Let me tell you about tech issues.
It's been a weekend.
Oh,
but we can talk about that later. Hey, so the first episode of this podcast I listened to was the Tavern Brawl feed episode 3.
People listen to that?
Well, so that episode was significant because they changed a 3-mana 2/3 called Warsong Commander.
Oh.
And we talked about that on the Brawl episode. I mean, it does. I mean, literally anything but Brawl was more interesting than Brawl. So
the Brawl that week was Randomonium and not a lot of depth to cover there. But the Warsong Commander nerf seemed significant at the time. That was December 2015. Barack Obama was the president of the United States. It's been a minute. I've been listening to you all since what set had just come out. Was that the Grand Tournament or was it still Black Rock Mountain? It's been a minute.
Quite a while.
Then, and now I get to hang out with y'all every week until you're sick of me. That's fantastic.
Yeah, man.
So,
Joss and I had a little Discord discussion. I'm trying to work in some alliterations here, and I'll hopefully find some puns along the way to truly do your first official show as a permahost justice. It was a very short discussion. We were like, hey, how do you feel about making Hap permanent? And Joss's reply was, I had the same thought. And that was the end of that meeting. I wish every meeting on Earth was A, that short, and B, that productive. That would be wonderful. Yeah.
That could have been an email.
It could have been an email.
That meeting could have been an email.
It basically is.
It kind of was, right?
My whole life is just a series of going, this could have been an email, and
yes,
wandering.
But hey, I'm glad you talked, and it's been a lot of fun to be here. But I was like, man, I wish I could be here with Joss. Here we are.
Ta-da!
Sometimes dreams do come true.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
So welcome back to the show, Permanently Hat. I can now say here as always with Jocelyn and Ridiculous Hat. I'm going to get used to saying that one. And but back to catching up to Joss, because we were just hanging out a week ago. By the way, most likely going to be doing the show on Mondays from now on. We're going to try and flex. Like if we know like, hey, patch is dropping this day, we'll try and flex for the day that the patch drops to get in on the hype. Because we too, actually kind of, you know, want good metrics. It'd be nice for the show to perform well. But we're going to try and do Monday nights, probably 8 o'clock, most likely from now on. Bear with us, pardon our dust, yada, yada, yada. There, announcements out of the way. There's all the fanfare. Joss, you've been gone so damn long. Has anything of note occurred to you, like in your Hearthstone life? Like, has it just been business as usual? Did you reach any new meaningful accolades in Hearthstone?
Well, I mean, as a legend player. Yeah, so it turns out that the big push that I needed to get to Legend was a whole bunch of time off of podcasting for my health, a global pandemic, so I couldn't go anywhere, and also for my work to close down for a week because of the same global pandemic. So I had literally nothing to do except play Hearthstone. So yeah.
Hooray!
As a Legend player, I have returned. Yeah, and so it was just kind of the perfect storm of having a lot of time and having a hunter deck be legit the best deck in the game. So I didn't really have to like wrap my head around rogue or something crazy. And yeah, here we go.
Yeah. You were talking to me a little bit about this while you were playing, and your win rate was kind of insane.
I went 47 and 17 in 2 days.
Good wow. Christ. What?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Because I went into this season and I wasn't really intending on climbing. It was a little bit like once we found out my work was going to close, I messaged Hat and I was like, what's even good? Like, I've got a week off work. Like, maybe I can actually make a run for it. And he's like, oh, play this hunter deck. And I was like, okay, cool. But I really didn't think that I was going to get anywhere because I've been like not really playing too much standard. I've been really invested in Battlegrounds. So going into this season, I only had 6 bonus stars. So I was like, I ran out of stars at like the top of gold. I was like, man, I'm never going to get there. And then I played this hunter deck and I was just like, win, 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 win. And then I get one loss and then message Hat and I'd be like, why is this stupid water card in the game? Like, why can mages just draw for free? This is so stupid. And then it win, 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 win. Like, I have one bad game and then message Hat with a rant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were like, there was one game in particular where you were complaining about stupid refreshing spring water and you're like, I killed them anyways, but yeah, I was annoyed.
That's the point. They still shouldn't be able to draw for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably wish you still weren't able to kill them. But
yeah.
So I've been playing Face Hunter ever since you mentioned that it might be kind of good. You have no stats to back that up, by the way, and no accolades, obviously. But I figure Joss is a good friend. She wouldn't lead me astray, so I'd start playing as well. And I, too, was very annoyed by Refreshing Springwater and yet have not lost a single game to a mage.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you win. It matters that it's annoying.
Yeah,
because you're just sitting there and you're waiting for them to draw the perfect answer because they just drew like 4 cards in a row for free. And you're like, why? Why? But it turns out Hunter is just too good.
Yes. Well, yeah. I would say all it took to get you to Legend Jocelyn was removing Demon from Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also true.
I think Hunter's Hunter reminds me a little bit of Demon Hunter right now. Like, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
Not quite the same, but like, I don't know. See, Hunter was kind of the good guy before the patch because it was just there to beat Dex of Lunacy. And we weren't happy about Deck of Lunacy.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're all Christopher Nolan Dark Knight fans here, right? Because you know the quote, I'm about to pull out of my butt.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Is the quote, I'm Batman.
Close.
Yeah.
I think it was actually, at least I'm not wearing hockey pads. But
yes. You didn't do the voice. You got to do the voice.
No. No.
Okay.
Hat, swear to me that you will never do that voice. Swear to me.
I can't make that promise.
Driving me batty over here, Hat.
You did the pun. Oh, Joss, I'm sorry. I've been not the best influence.
Yeah, I realize that, but it's okay. It's okay. I definitely caught a couple of episodes while I was away, and the pun game was strong in Garrett. Now, I would say you've been a great influence, personally.
Well, thank you. See, he merely adopted the puns. I was born with them, molded by them. All right, Garrett, take the show.
Get
back.
That Dark Knight Rises shit out of here. What are you doing? Yeah, give me bat flack.
Just think
there.
About how does Bane eat.
Carefully?
Intravenously? Does he have,
like, I don't have an answer. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm going to go with intravenously. That's what I'm going to go with.
Maybe like his mask, the holes are each like one spaghetti noodle size. And so he just like slurps a bunch of, I don't know.
There's vomit on his sweater already. One spaghetti.
The amount of cultural references we just packed into that.
Sorry,
into
I'm
that
really
segment.
Excited Jocelyn is back. And when like, I'm excited to be hanging with my friends. I just I just start pulling references. That's what I do when
you
I'm
just
relaxed.
Get a little ridiculous.
I do. Oh, look at you, Joss. It begins already.
Wait, this is for you.
We are going to need to have a meeting about the overuse of soundboards on this program, because I think if there's two of us, it's going to go too far. It's going
to
go too far.
Wasn't supposed to do that, but I did.
This is the show now, Garrett. Get into it.
Yeah, this is going to get worse before it gets better.
Enjoys the Angry Chicken reborn as the morning zoo. Like, I hope you all enjoy that. But yeah. So you've been enjoying, back to actual little Hearthstone talk, you've been enjoying the meta. Apparently it's been kind to you. It has really clicked with you.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those people that wasn't as annoyed with the meta pre-nerfs either. Like, I did manage to get up to plat before all the nerfs happened. I was playing Paladin, so, you know, totally degenerate season. Played Paladin before the nerfs and Hunter after the nerfs, so yeah. But I didn't really mind the meta, mostly because I'm one of those players that just doesn't have a whole lot of time on my hands. And I know Hat and I were talking about this in Discord at the beginning of the month and, you know, like having a lot of conversations in the TAC Discord as well. I didn't mind the meta because it's the kind of meta that gels with me as a player, where there's like, you know, three or four decks that are really prevalent and I know exactly what my opponent's going to do when I queue into them. Like, I know that like all 10 classes having a viable deck or multiple archetypes, even as we've seen in the past metas over the past year or so. When you get that many decks in a meta, it's great because everybody has a class that they like that has something viable to play. But if you're looking to like really learn it and really climb it, that's a huge ask for someone who isn't a like professional Hearthstone player or a streamer, right? Who isn't doing it 8 hours a day. If you only have like 1 hour a day, I was getting really frustrated because I'm like, oh my God, what is this person trying to do to me on ladder? Like, what do I even play? What do I even counter? And so it's very much like it's a more, I guess, like simplistic laddering experience, or like a more simplistic meta. But I actually really like that as someone who only has a couple hours a day to play Hearthstone. So I know not everybody was a fan of the fact that it was basically like three or four decks that were playable before the nerfs. But I was kind of a fan of that style of meta. So I know a lot of people got sick of it really quick, but I was like, yeah, I'll jam, you know, 15 games in row against mages. Like, I know exactly what they're going to do and I know how to beat it. So bring on the mages. Like, this is cool. So I know it's not for everybody, but I was actually
that kind of matchup consistency is like really rare too over the whole history of this game. Like, we have certainly had,
well, it felt like playing in a tournament, honestly, like it, because I knew what my opponents were going to bring. Like, I had an idea of what the meta was and it was these few couple of classes and I was like, I can learn this. I can do this. And it was just a lot easier, more confirmed. Approachable.
Right? Is that what you're trying to say? I get it. Okay, no, Jess. I mean, that's a really bold,
easier, but
that's a bold stance to take. So, you know, I'm really proud of you for being so brave and wading into those waters.
Man, I'm going to get so much hate mail.
Listen, I mean, you're the one being brave and saying that tournament play is infinitely easier than ladder. We all heard it. We all heard you say
words
it.
Words in my mouth, man.
Did we? Is that what we heard? But yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for predictability, right? There's something to be said for people are so hungry for guidance. If you were doing a stream on opening day or opening night or whatever of an expansion, you tear through your packs and then people go into streams. Y'all got any decklists? It's been 4 hours since the set came out. Like, no, I don't. But people are so hungry for guidance that when things boil down to a really clear direction and pattern and strategy that makes sense, it can almost be a little bit more freeing. Because you don't have to worry about trying to figure stuff out. And I'll tell you that we've switched from Deck of Lunacy to Meta of Chaos. Deck of Chaos is little known cousin, where it feels like it's pretty hard to get an idea as to what my next opponent's going to do. And that's challenging, as opposed to when you know it's going to be mages. As long as you're playing something that can beat Deck of Lunacy on two, or you have some kind of way to address the emotional damage when they get it early, along with an Encanter Slow and then the Grand Slam you to death, then you're okay.
See, and that's why you just play Hunter, because they never get to Grand Slam. They are dead turn five. Let's go. Which, that's another thing too, right? Is that not only was the Hunter deck the best in the game, but a face Hunter deck was best in the game, right? So I think, Garrett, I was talking to you about how, like, in the time I would normally do, because I tended to like either kind of mid-rangey tempo style decks or even like combo decks. That's just the way I like to play Hearthstone. I don't normally play aggressive decks. I was able to actually get like 20 games in an hour versus I had been doing, you know, like 7 to 10 games in an hour, maybe with some of those like mid-range, like mid-length game type decks. And so it was just like, it was a good deck and I was able to get the volume of the games in. And like, I don't think I'm any better of a Hearthstone player than I was like last month or the 5 years before that. It's just like, this month I hit Legend.
Yeah, I mean, it's always
a lot of it. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I saw you
have to figure out this three host thing.
You were both. I'm sorry. It is 8:30 p.m. here, and my doorbell's going off, so I'm writing the mute button as my dogs freak out. So I don't know who the hell is at the door right now, but here we find ourselves. Yeah, that's where my brain just absolutely disappeared to. I saw all three of us were tweeting amongst each other because if only we had any other way to directly talk to each other. But we decided to do it on Twitter and we were going back and forth about Joss hitting Legend. And we were both Joss, you and I were talking about how good of a like Hearthstone therapist hat is, and which you are hat.
Yes. Like,
thank you. Years of practice. I am my own first patient.
I think Joss and I might get along because we share similar attitudes and propensities for tilting. Is what I'm getting at. And so like, and then you got on that tweet thread and you were like, yeah, the best advice I could ever give is just play. And we've said that since the very beginning, that if climbing the Hearthstone ladder, if hitting Legends, like if that is your goal, the best way, the absolute best way that you can increase your chances of that is to just go and play games, just log games.
Yep.
Because if nothing else, at the end of the day, it is a numbers game. You need to log X amount of games to get there. And whatever your win rate is going to dictate how many games X is. Congratulations. You made me do algebra on the podcast.
I'm sorry.
I hate algebra.
It just honestly, I feel like I actually have like Battlegrounds to credit with the like lack of tilt, to be honest, because that's a button that I just push. You know, like I don't give a flying F about what my Battlegrounds ranking is. So I literally finish one round of BGs, whether I get first or eighth, I don't care. I push the button again. And I think being in Hearthstone, being in like the Hearthstone environment, very much like almost like got rid of that like trigger that I had of like the being afraid to push the play button. It's like just being in Hearthstone, playing BGs over and over again, win or lose, not caring. Really helped with being able to do that same sort of action on ladder. And also it helped that I wasn't seeing the, you know, fail, lose screen very often. Like the fact that every time I pushed the button and everything went, yay!
Remind me of how many wins and how many losses you had in 2 days.
Yes, so the cure for your ladder anxiety.
Yeah.
The cure for your ladder anxiety is a win rate over 70%. Just try it at home, listeners. It'll do wonders for you.
I have tried it at home.
You sound like a jerk.
It doesn't work. There's too much deck diversity now, by the way. It doesn't work anymore.
Well, and, you know, it's funny because, like, being able to just push that button and having a really good idea, like, what my opponent was going to be, what I was going to see on the other side, like, that kind of made it easier, too. And just being in and out of the match, like they were quick matches, win or lose, they were quick matches. So I think that like all of it just came together and made it an easier climb and kind of just got rid of, like, I think I lost. The worst I did is I got to like 1 star in Diamond 2 and then I lost it and dropped back down to 3. And then I just like won all the way up into Legend. But it's like that one drop would have like, and has in the past, tilted the crap out of me. Like back when Secret Paladin was a thing, I was 1 win away from Legend on stream. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start up the stream. We're going to get Legend on stream. It's going to be this great, awesome moment. And then I lost like all the way back down to like rank 5. And I like didn't stream for like a month after that. I was so mad. Like I might have streamed for 30 or 45 minutes. And it was just like loss, 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 boom, 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 all the way down. And I was just like, all right, that's it. I'm out. I'm done. Like, it's like I put so much pressure on myself And this time I was just like, I have nothing better to do. Like, I'm just going to push the play button and, you know, didn't let those couple of losses get to me. And then just kept going and really, I think, probably tilted a lot of other people.
If those other people were playing Mage, they deserved it. They knew exactly what they were doing. They signed up for it. And that's why you didn't get any friend requests, because deep down,
they knew they had it coming.
They knew they deserved it. They knew.
They absolutely had a lot of.
Or they were sitting there like, what happened? I just died.
Oh, actually, yeah, that too. Yeah, they forgot that that was an option because they were in just complete disbelief that they actually lost the game.
Yeah,
that quickly too. But yeah, I mean, your first time final boss is yourself almost always. It's that emotional barrier they put on it. And anytime you commit to the idea of I'm going to get this rank at this time, 100% of the time that I've made that commitment, it has been a mistake and it has been a problem, because you can't decide when things are going to go your way or when they're not. You can only decide how you react to it. And so you handled it really well. And also, again, you kept winning. That's a good strategy, but because you picked a good deck and you were well aligned with the meta and you were prepared to play the game how it wanted to be played, and you just rolled with it and it worked. So you got the games in. The Legend is a numbers game thing, mostly true, but also you do have to have the base skill level, which I maintain that both of you have had for a long, long time. It's just a question of sitting down and having the time. Garrett, I'm looking at you. Sitting down and having free time, that's a thing that you don't do a lot. You don't have a lot of free time.
Yeah, Garrett has zero free time, you guys. Like, none at all.
I don't know how to not do things.
Well, so, like, but I like said, playing
you need a pandemic and your work to be closed.
Yeah.
That's what you need to, like, literally my entire world is shut down right now. Like, I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I can't see anyone. Okay, Ontario is dying.
Listen,
like, it's bad.
I think I just banked a lot of Angry Chicken sick day. Sick days. So
he sure did.
We'll just be in the middle of recording a show of just me and Joss. Garrett took the day off to go hit Legend. We both get a Discord message in the middle that rhymes with the brother clucking priests, for example.
No, I want to do it on the show. Like, one of you can drive, and I'm just going to sit in the background, and every once in a while you hear me go, son of a bitch!
Love it. Love it. But I think one of the other things that you said that is something that I had really never done before was like letting Hearthstone dictate to me how I should play. Because like I had this like not really like mental block, but the classes that I have at like gold that I have my 500 wins in, which is like I think Druid, Warlock, Hunter, Paladin, and Mage. So like Paladin, Hunter, Mage are the really big ones that have been pretty good and good for climbing. As soon as I got those 500 wins, I was like, I have to play other stuff. So I was playing like super off meta, trying to get my wins. Like that was like the goal that I would be setting for myself is like, okay, I'm going to work on my shaman and I'm going to play just a shaman deck. And it's like shaman might've been at the time, like the 6th, 7th, 8th worst deck in the game. And I'm like, why can't I climb? It's like, 'cause you're playing shaman. If you played Demon Hunter, you'd be legend by now. So like letting the game and the meta dictate what I played, I think also made a really big difference. And just like letting go and being like, all right, so Hunter's the shit, so that's what I'm gonna play.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like being like, all right, Hunter, aggro, that's working, best deck in the game, let's just go. And not really worrying about, you know, working on other classes or that, you know, I was wasting time or whatever. Like, I have so many negative thoughts that have piled up in my head over the years that, like, yeah, I was definitely my own final boss.
You were just working on your 1K portrait. You can say that now.
Just there you go. Yeah, now there's actually something past 500. That's true.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing of, if you want to play your way, you can, but there's a win rate compromise there. And if you want to play the game's way, then you'll win more. But if it makes you unhappy, there's a different compromise there. And there are a few times where you can play your way and it's the best thing to do, and that's awesome. But if those are the only times that you play and every other time you try and force it, well, I mean, you've been there with those shaman decks. And sorry, shaman players out there, we love you. We're sure Blizzard's going to buff some stuff or release some cool cards in the mini set. But... yeah, it's sometimes if you're just trying to make it work you want to play. Mini-set.
That's going to be coming soon too, right? Like, oh God,
they're
going to
do more cards. They're going to do more cards. They do more cards now, just like all the time. But yeah, it's if we try.
Do more cards is like when someone goes, hey, do a trick. Like that video of Tony Hawk going around where he's like, hey, do a kickflip. Yeah. Like just us going to Team 5, like, hey, do more carts. And they're like, okay, sounds good. We'll do it.
They're doing that. And also, like, there's more.
Now, if only they would listen when we say, hey, invite women.
Oh, segueing.
No, we have a lot to talk about that later, but I'm sorry. Yeah. I couldn't let that go by. But yeah, there's so much Hearthstone coming down the pipe, right? And because of the delayed hat, Joss, you don't agree with us, but last week you and I were talking about how it was essentially a delayed real start to the beginning of the new expansion. Like, now it seems like the mini set is even coming like more fast and more furious, almost like they invited John Cena to the party.
Is he in Fast Furious 9?
Yes, he's the main villain in Fast 9. If you haven't seen the newest trailer, you should go watch. This is not a bit. I am a raging Fast and Furious fan. If you haven't seen the new trailer, go watch it.
I didn't want to get spoiled, so I've been avoiding it. But when it got pushed a year, I was so sad.
Banner ads with his face on it, and on every website I go to, I don't know how you can avoid it. So.
Well, maybe it's because I don't really know who he is. So, like, even if I saw it, I'd be like, okay.
So you don't understand the bit that I did for introducing?
No, not at all.
Because that's John Cena's music. Okay. All right.
I'm sad now. I'm more sad now than I was before.
Well, I mean, it just makes sense, Hat, because she couldn't see him.
And Joss, I will spoil one thing about the Fast and Furious trailer. A lot of cars.
Man, Hat, why?
More planes than you would think.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of plane stuff, which I'm down with.
They got to do trains next.
Yeah, whatever they want, man, as long as it goes fast. And
if you would like to see another season of Embrace the Spoilers about Fast and the Furious, please send a check with Jocelyn and my name on it. Anyways, we've got some heavy stuff to talk about. We've got some fun stuff to talk about. We got a big show. So before we get into all of that, business as usual, we need to thank our patrons. We need to thank the people who are sending us their hard-earned money for this absurd thing that we do. All three of us now, by the way. So, you know, it's split three ways. If anyone wants to become a patron and make up that difference, that would be delightful. Please and thank you. But head on over to patreon.com/TAC. Okay, that's where you can go and support the show. It's an opt-in way to support us here at the Angry Chicken. And you get access to our Discord, you get an ad-free version of the feed. And people seem to be digging you a lot on the show, Hat. And I don't know what it was. We had a bit of a windfall of new patrons last week. So we actually, for the first time in a while, have too many to thank on a single episode. So we're back to having the thank you list, which means I will thank everyone. Everyone will get thanked in the order that you signed up. We're going to try not to do more than three a week. If you signed up and I don't thank you this week, you'll probably be on next week and we'll go from there. So thanks for the support, everybody. And this week, we want to thank our latest patrons, Grumpy Face, Jared Reeves, and Alex Hagen. Thank you so very much for signing up and supporting us here over at patreon.com/TAC. But also, really excited about Joss being back. We're really excited about Hat being a new permanent third chair on the Angry Chicken. We've also got a new producer, and his name is Jeffrey Dronenberg. Yeah. Thank you, Jeffrey. We really appreciate it. I need to take that music off my soundboard because I cannot be trusted with it.
You really do.
Yeah. It's purposely peaking, by the way. That's the meme in case anyone on any audio files listening. It's on purpose. It's part of the meme that the sound is peaking. That's the joke. So
please email tacpodcast@gmail.com and let us know about the audio of the John Cena bit. We'd love to hear from you.
Let us know which intro music I should come in as. I don't know. I like New Day. Anyways, that's going to do it for our patron. Thanks. And before we get to the meat of today's show, we have a sponsor to thank, so we'll be right back after this message. Do you want your bank account to work with you instead of against you? Chime is an award-winning app and debit card with no hidden fees or monthly premiums. Chime has a fee-free overdraft on up to $100 in debit purchases thanks to SpotMe. It's like overdraft protection, but way better. Do you like getting paid early? I struggle to think of a reason why you wouldn't. You can get your paycheck, stimulus check, even your tax return up to 2 days earlier with direct deposit. There are also no hidden fees or monthly minimums. I really don't like looking for hidden fees, so I'm glad to hear that there aren't any here. Also, there's a ton of fee-free ATMs. Hey, factual Garrett, how many ATMs are there when I say there are a ton? Thanks for asking, other Garrett. 38,000 to be exact, with MoneyPass and Visa Plus Alliance. Thanks, factual Garrett. Also, if you're a security hound like me, and I mean I take security very seriously, sometimes I add symbols to my password. You can turn on alerts that will let you know when your card is used and instantly block your card if something seems, what are the cool kids saying nowadays? Oh, right, sus. Anyways, go check them out. Join the millions on Chime. Sign up takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. You can apply now at chime.com/TAC. That's chime.com/TAC. And now I apologize to anyone listening at double speed, but Chime is a financial technology company. Banking services provided by Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases. Limits start at $20 and may be increased to $100 by Chime. Early direct deposit depends on the payer. Out-of-network cash withdrawal fees apply. Third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Go to chime.com/tech for details.
Good news, everyone!
I couldn't find the bad news, everyone, bumper, which would have felt more, correct for the bulk of the conversation we're going to have today, because we can lead off with the fact that there's now a thing called Nosdormu Day, which is an officially designated day for the 15th of every month where the Hearthstone team is trying to get us to put Nosdormu in our decks on purpose, which I think is fun, but I didn't do it.
I think it's a really fun idea too. I'm glad that they're trying some of these like little mini event things. Like, it doesn't do anything. There's no rewards or anything else other than literally the fun of having speed Hearthstone randomly on the ladder. Like, it's the kind of thing that I was really hoping would create a community. And I've heard from a bunch of people on Twitter and in the Discord basically saying like, man, I run Nos in every deck and I've never had a speed Hearthstone game. And that makes me so sad. I don't know. I feel like Nosdormu Day, the 15th of every month, will just give these awesome gamers a chance to find each other.
All right, let's see. What's the 15th of May? That's a Saturday. Nope. I'm going to be out probably swimming. June is a Tuesday. We could do something then. I was like, we need to find a 15th. That's like a time when we could actually like try and make this a thing. So, yeah. Tech listeners.
Well, you don't need much time. The games are fast.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. Only if my opponent has decided to also get in on the festivities, Hat.
Okay.
Which hopefully they do on Nosdormu Day.
Let's be optimistic. Maybe something nice will happen. That's the lesson we want to take away from this week's news, right? Maybe something good will happen.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, maybe we'll do a Nos tourney, DG. There's been a lot of folks have been tweeting at us being like, hey, are you going to talk about this? Of course, we're going to talk about the Crossroads Invitational. There was no universe. We were not going to mention it.
Week to come back.
Yeah. Welcome back, Joss. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how to like properly lead into this because I'm sick of talking about this and I'm a guy, so I can only imagine how you actually. I know how you feel, Joss. We've been exchanging curse words with each other while discussing this outside of the show. But yeah, anyway, there's a new invitational coming. It was announced, and with that announcement, just came a lot of outcry from the community about the lack of diversity in the invitations. And as with the last time this happened, there was a major focus on the fact that there just weren't that many women invited. So that's the kind of the best way I can wrap it up. We're obviously going to have a big chat here, but I don't know. I feel bad being like, hey, Joss, what's your take on this? Cause I feel like I'm like serving you up as this freaking token just by virtue of being the only girl on the show.
Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, like we had a chat before, just about like people. And I mean, I've seen comments on Twitter too, just kind of being curious of like how I'm going to approach this, because like, honestly, like I'm so tired. Like I'm so tired. It's just, at this point, it's hard to even know what to say. And I do want to point to a lot of other women in the community, because I think they've been doing a really good job covering this. I think I was fortunate enough to have some time to be able to watch Slissa when she did her video live. And it's absolutely heartbreaking, because the women in this community are just some of the most hardworking content creators I've ever seen, because like the hurdles that you have to jump over, and this isn't a Hearthstone specific problem even, but the Hearthstone community is not as great as it likes to think that it is. And I think I've been quite privileged to be sheltered in a way, because I don't think that the podcast community is quite as toxic as the Twitch community. I think that there's a lot of just like greater Twitch culture outside of the Hearthstone community that kind of like bleeds into the Hearthstone community. And though we stream our shows live, I've never really been like that prolific of a streamer. Like I went through a kind of a stage of my professional career where I was streaming a whole lot more when I made partner, and, you know, it was a really big deal. But I mean, for the most part, I haven't been a like Twitch streamer first, I'll say. It's always been kind of podcast first, streamer second. And I think that's sheltered me in a way. Like, I mean, I've still had absolutely terrible experiences. I don't even think I shared it on this show, but I did share it on my Warcraft show. But like I was drugged at the last BlizzCon I attended live. Like the experiences of women in the community are shit. And yeah, it's just, it's.
Katie and I were there for that horrific experience. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. I never had a friend text me and be like, yo, I am not well, come find me.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was really scary.
Yeah. It's like, and it's just like, I guess I just want to share that like working with you has been really eye-opening, and in not a good way. Like in the early days, like on the lower, like you're not being physically impacted by it, like you're not getting drugged ways, like just emails that would come in, just sexist shit or what I would refer to as creepy ass shit that's not appropriate, stuff I just never saw. And now like the majority of my career has been on this show. I've been podcasting for what, 11 years? We've been doing the shows for 7 of them. The majority has been this. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
so I had a little bit of an experience before that. I did a few years covering StarCraft. Never once got like, I never got an email to Kyle that's like, "Ooh, Kyle, I want to see you with your shirt off." Ooh, yeah. Like I never got anything like that. Suddenly I start working with you and I start seeing shit like that. And it definitely got to like a crescendo with like, holy shit, my friend got drugged at Marriott or Hilton Bar. I don't remember which one we were at. It's kind of irrelevant. It's like,
same scene.
Yeah. I had always heard about this kind of shit. Didn't really, I don't know. Like it was just cognitive dissonance, I guess. Like, cause I didn't know anyone personally who was being impacted by it. And
yeah. And I think in that way, you've kind of, had your eyes opened a little bit more, and you've been a little bit more privileged in that way, because you've had to work with me directly, which means you've seen the emails in our shared inbox. You've seen, you know, like the messages in our Twitch chat and stuff. Like you've kind of had your eyes opening by working with a woman, but there's a lot of content creators that do a lot of solo stuff that kind of don't have that experience. I know Hat, like you worked with Cora back in the day too. So I'm sure you saw a lot of it as well. And I mean, like there's so many women now who've been forced out of the Hearthstone scene, Cora included. And like she made the decision to go and join the dev team, which is awesome. But even then, like even when she was hired at Blizzard, there were a ton of people being like, why did you get that job? Like, you don't deserve it. Like all these stupid, ridiculous comments. And it's like she felt that for her own. And I don't necessarily want to speak for her too much. I mean, you guys can go and check out her Twitter for her like exact thoughts. But basically, it's like, for her own well-being, she felt she had to step away. And I have never seen, and this has been echoed by, because I worked with Cora at DreamHack, and it's been echoed by a lot of her casters who worked with her over on DreamHack as well. Like, they've never seen somebody take the amount of abuse that Cora took when she was casting Hearthstone. And she was, like, by the other caster's own admission, the most knowledgeable of all of the casting team. And she took the most crap. And it's just, like, absolutely unbelievable how terribly women are treated in the Hearthstone scene. And, I mean, she's not the only one who's kind of stepped back from having a more, like, I don't know, like, forward facing, community facing kind of role. Patro was bullied out of GM. She doesn't play Hearthstone anymore. Hafu. She's got to be the most badass gaming chick I've ever seen, who's been in all kinds of scenes for years. And she left Hearthstone because the Hearthstone scene is so goddamn toxic.
Hafu, like, is wildly telling, right? Because of her involvement, like, in so many other gaming scenes. So I don't know what it is about Hearthstone. And again, to a certain degree, I feel like we're insulated by it because, as you mentioned, the podcast community.
The podcast isn't quite the same as a Twitch stream.
Yeah, I think. And I really don't know. And, to a certain degree, this is where I throw my hands up and I go, I don't care because it's not okay. And I just don't want to see it. And just here we are again. Like, we just keep having this damn conversation. Sorry. I knew this
was we do. I think that that's why I'm so tired is because, like, we've been having these conversations. Like, I mean, I remember having these conversations when Cora first started casting. I remember having these conversations because it's not just women. It's kind of any minority group, because I remember having these conversations around Terrence when he won DreamHack and how absolutely disgusting that chat was.
Well, we had him on the show.
Like, yeah. Like, we had him on the show. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. It was absolutely horrible. And, like, and then we have, you know, conversations around representation of all communities within Hearthstone. Like, we had all of these conversations, like, almost exactly a year ago with Slyssa replacing someone who didn't deserve to be promoted by Blizzard at the very last minute. And, you know, like, she was, and, like, we've talked about this, she and I kind of privately, like, she was, like, it's going to sound so gross when I say it, but she was lucky that she did well, because if she hadn't done well, and the fact that she replaced a guy, that it could have been a much different experience for her. And the first few hours of her being in that tournament were a terrible experience until she started blowing people out of the water. And as soon as she started, like, proving herself, then it's like the conversation switched to, like, oh, hey, who's this? Like, where did they come from? Blah, 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 blah. But, like, the first little while was just bad, like, really bad. And it could have been worse if she had performed poorly. And I wouldn't have blamed her if she had performed poorly, because that was a really crappy situation to be put in. Like, talk about pressure on pressure on pressure on pressure. Like, she is an absolute goddess for being able to perform at that level under that type of pressure, because that's one of the biggest problems, is this, like, there's this gigantic spotlight on you when you don't fit the mold. So, like, whatever that mold is and whatever group you're part of, because, again, like I say, this isn't necessarily a women's only issue. There are plenty of minorities that are treated very poorly in all kinds of gaming communities. But it's like, if you don't fit the mold, all of a sudden you become this, like, you're put up on this pedestal and you are the representative of that group within the community. And if you do poorly, then you have all this pressure on you because it reflects back on that community. And it's like, if she'd done badly, then, you know, the conversation would have been, see, women don't belong. Why did she get that spot? She didn't deserve to be here. And it's like, it's put so much pressure on the people who are put into that position that it's like, of course, like, I wouldn't ever expect them to do well, because they're just, like, highlighted in this negative light all the time. And the pressure and expectations are huge. And it just, it's like I said earlier too, it's not just a Hearthstone problem, but I think in general, the Hearthstone community likes to, I don't know, think that they're better than they are. And I think a lot of that also stems from the fact that there's no voice comms in Hearthstone. So you can't really, like, it's not the same as an Overwatch. Like, I have a lot of female friends that play Overwatch, and that's like the first thing that they say is that, like, there's a voice chat. As soon as I speak up in voice chat, then the slurs come and the negativity comes and everything else. But Hearthstone, unless you have a name like me, like, I play Hearthstone under Joss. It's very, like, or I think it's a pretty obviously feminine name. But, like, if I was, like, Hearthstone Lover 82, like, they'd have no idea, right? So, and even then, they can't, like, really talk to me. They can message me after, and you've seen all kinds of toxic messages that people post on Twitter after a game or whatever, but it doesn't have the same, like, level or the same, like, sexism tied to each individual match when you're, like, playing on the ladder or whatever. So I think the Hearthstone community thinks, like, oh, we're not sexist. We just hate all Hunter players or whatever. Like, but I think that the, I don't know, it's just the wider communities seem to be not as positive or as equal as we would hope that they would be. And a lot of that stuff has come out in the last weeks. And like I said, there's been a lot of women who are speaking out of this, out about this. I watched Nicolina's like 4-hour video on it, and she actually breaks it down really, really well, and kind of dispels a lot of myths and stuff, and just really did a good job. Slissa did an awesome job. Like I said, she, I watched her live, and it was a really emotional experience because she talks about a lot of stuff that really hits home, like from like how, and I mean, I'm older than her, so I think it was probably worse on me in terms of like things we were taught growing up, like our shared experiences in sports and stuff, like are all very similar. It was really emotional watching Slissa. And then obviously like Sun Glitters has been like spearheading the cause on Twitter. Like she's so freaking entertaining, man. I love her so much. And we had a DM exchange for like pretty much the first time ever. Like she's been a someone in the Hearthstone community that I've kind of like been around and in same circles with without actually like directly talking to. And we got to talk this past week and it was really good. And, you know, it's, there are a lot of women creators out there in the Hearthstone scene that have been doing a lot of good work in the last week, trying to explain our experiences. And I really and truly hope this time that something actually is done, because I don't think that what we're asking for, like the big asks that I've kind of seen is like, we'd like some opportunity. We'd like to not compete for the same, like, cause it very much seems like in invitationals, that there are 1 to 2 slots that are kind of like reserved for women, and competing for those slots is very difficult versus like the 18 slots that seem to be available for guys. And so it's very much like creates this culture of like pitting women against women, which is also not the greatest. Like we kind of just want opportunities. We want to be heard. We want moderation is another big thing. Like we want not only Blizzard, but other big content creators, we just would really like you to police your communities. And it's not just enough to like ignore, because I've seen a lot of people say that, like, have a thicker skin, just block and ignore, block and ignore. And it's like, yeah, but.
Oh boy, I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, yeah. Cause how many times you and I had conversations about content creation devoid of the conversation we're having right now, right? Which is right. About like diversity and inclusion. Just like creating content in general, just doing anything, like living in public, living out loud, you have to have a certain thick skin. I believe that you have to, there's always going to be asshats, but what we're talking about now is the amount.
You pick a different ass clothing.
I didn't say
there's going to be ass pants.
There's going to be ass pants. Okay. Does that mean I'm calling? But hold on. If I say ass pants, that means I'm calling for assless chaps, is essentially what I'm calling for. But no, the point is that's ridiculous.
I would like to refer to all misogynist people in chats going forward as assless chaps.
Okay, sounds
humbly
good.
Proposing.
Anyway, what we're talking about is like, I agree. I think you do need thick skin to do shit in public under your name or not, like do stuff in public. Doesn't matter. I almost said show your face. I'm like, no, wait, Sun Glitters doesn't show her face. And she still gets a ration of shit. Like, it doesn't matter. There's nothing. And so what we're talking about is like the amount of shit you need to eat, the amount of times you need to toughen up, the thickness of the skin you need to have. It's too much. It's too often.
It shouldn't be frequent. Your responsibility. It shouldn't be your burden. It's men. I see this tweet all the time. Whenever something political comes up, whenever something about anything comes up. No, I just want to be about the game. Why can't you just tweet about the game? It's like women wish they could just talk about the game.
I just want to talk about Hearthstone.
Please, let's just talk about the game. Let's not do this again.
And chat, I'm aware there's breaking news. We'll talk about it in just a second. But like, it still stands that it was announced and it went down a certain way. And they are now course correcting. We'll get to that in a second. But it's still... The other thing we haven't brought up is like, I don't know. There's so many things, and I'm so glad that you mentioned Slissa's and Nicolina's videos on the subject, Joss, because I think they both do a really, really good and exhaustive job of breaking down basically every parroted technical point to try and discredit actually being concerned about the fact that only two girls were invited to this invitational. And the big technical point that I kept seeing run around was just like, oh, I think the best player should be there. And I'm just like, what world are you living in where like 80% content creators and YouTubers are the best of the best competitively? Most of the people, it's an invitational by actual name. I know they added an extra N, and clearly some of these people are just, maybe that's enough to set them off the scent, but it is an invitational. These are not competitive players. Frankly, I don't think competitive Hearthstone's been competitive since they invited people to Grandmasters. So as far as I'm concerned, that's off the goddamn table too. But.
Well, and the really interesting thing about the Grandmaster invites that we didn't really talk about or cover at the time, I didn't really realize it, but is kind of come to light through everything this last week. And again, Nicolina really breaks it down well, but they actually, like, other than the community invites, because those, like, they literally could have done, and we had this conversation when we talked about Grandmasters, like, they could have done whatever they wanted with those community invites. They kind of made it so it wasn't like the best of the best in Hearthstone anyways, just by nature of creating community or content creator or legend or whatever they were called, like those spots that just went to people. But what, even in awarding spots to people based on earnings, I thought that those earnings were like from esports specifically, like from previous were they called Masters Tour events? Anyways, at previous Hearthstone Tour events, like previous World Championships, all that kind of stuff. HCT, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Like the official Hearthstone esports, I thought that's where the winnings were coming from. But they also incorporated money and winnings from invitationals. And if you're only inviting men and then saying we're doing it based on earnings, it's like, but the women didn't even have a shot at those earnings. So it's like this like self-fulfilling prophecy in those cases where they're saying, look, like you didn't win that 50 grand. It's like, yeah, but you didn't even give me a shot at it. Like, sure, you gave me a shot at HCT and Masters Tour and whatever, because anyone can win their spots in. And we're seeing a lot of women participate in those Masters Tours events now, which is great. But like the invitationals have such a large prize pool that it's like Blizzard basically like handpicked the winners, you know, like
Tights won an Aston Martin in China. Yeah. An Aston Martin
in a men's only tournament because it's China. Yep. Like, yeah. And it's those kinds of things that make it really difficult to kind of defend like the best player stance and to kind of parrot any of those things that say like, oh, but it's based on earnings or it's based on, you know, this thing and that thing. But if the opportunities aren't equally there, and I mean, I know China is its own thing and they separate based on gender quite often. And that was something that even Lion talked about when she won the world championship, by the way. Like, we had a female world champion.
And we were all really excited about it. This is going to be the start of something new. And then a month later,
Yeah, which, I mean, it's that was kind of, I mean, like, unfortunate, if you want to say, like, not a lot of us knew her going in. Not a lot of people saw her afterwards, just by the nature of the way that China is kind of separated from the rest of like just kind of Hearthstone esports in general. So it was unfortunate, air quotes, that she was a Chinese player and not from one of the other three regions that kind of us in North America or the Europe and APAC. And like, we were kind of exposed to all of those scenes, but China kind of is its own separate thing. So it didn't have the impact on the scene the way that we kind of hoped that it would, because she kind of like won and then was gone. So, you know, that was, it was kind of unfortunate, but I mean, that's the kind of thing where like when people start saying things like, you know, women can't compete or women aren't as competitive or women, you know, don't belong here or aren't in the best players. It's like, we had a world champion. She was the first world champion in any esport that was a woman, and she was in Hearthstone. Get out of here with that.
Like, but the issue is that women do feel like they don't belong because they're repeatedly told they aren't.
Exactly.
They're repeatedly told they don't belong. So like, I'm going to give the listeners of this fine show, this is not just because I'm a permanent host now, but I'm going to give the listeners of this fine show the benefit of the doubt, because I think that we have smart listeners that understand. But the question comes up of, what can I do? And really, women shouldn't be forced to bear the social burden of representing an entire gender, as opposed to men who log in to play Hearthstone, because that's what you do when you play a game. So what can I do? Well, first of all, when a woman is sharing her experience, or really anyone on any part of the gender spectrum that's not right where I am right now, of just like born a man, is a man, white, whatever. It's anyone sharing their
wieners
experience
for days.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just the one. But so anyways, if someone is, what? We'll that conversation. Anyone that is sharing experience that you haven't had, first thing you do is you take your mouth and you shut it. You shut your mouth and you listen to the experience they're sharing, because our experience is not universal and is not, I'm holding up air quotes for audio listeners, normal. It is just one of many different experiences. Listen to the other person. If you are hosting a stream chat, if you're a streamer, whatever, create an environment where people can share things and not stifle other conversation. This came up in Nicolina's stream. Someone was listening to her talk about how everything became about her physical appearance, and there was a response from chat of someone that clearly did not get the point of saying, and you're beautiful, so who cares? I will tell you that I have streamed many times, and I have never once been called beautiful. And I'm not, this is not an invitation. If I am streaming, I mean, you don't need listen, to comment on my physical appearance.
I've got something
you can tell
me
I'm beautiful. That's okay. Fine.
Okay. You're beautiful, man.
You're permitted. I will also let Celestalon say it in chat if he wishes. Nobody else. Josh, not even you. Chad, just Garrett and Celestalon.
Chad does seem to be on his way to delivering that message right now.
So anyways, but it's not about that. Just go to watch the game. And if someone is sharing an experience different than yours, it's a great experience. But it's time for men to care about this. It's time for us to give a shit and make an environment that's comfortable. The amount of people that play the game of Hearthstone, super diverse, wide variety of people that really enjoy the game of Hearthstone. The amount of people you see in the sport of Hearthstone are homogenous. They are men that look like me. And that kind of gap, there is something in between wanting to play and wanting to be seen that is clearly causing a major problem, where women do not feel welcome when they are visible. They are exploited. They are undermined. They are underappreciated. They are sexualized, whatever, when they just want to play the game. And so if there's a big difference between playing the game and being seen playing the game, the people that are watching need to understand what behavior to do differently. Women should be treated the same way that men should. I don't think this is a crazy idea, but there are so many things that if you are Garrett, you and I are in the same situation. We didn't know any of this stuff until we listened, until we heard, until we asked. And it's not women's job to educate us. It's our job to educate ourselves. It is our job to go and listen to the people that are sharing the stories and to shut our mouths for 1 second and just absorb the information and then change our behavior based on what we hear. That is the call to action here, of just listen to the people that are having the issue. That's all we got to do. And that is the bare minimum of asks. And yet, when I tweeted this out the other day, one of my favorite responses, I just tweeted out, hey, if you were here for a hot take, my hot take is, I'm going to be quiet, we should be quiet, and listen to the people that actually have the experiences. Women just want to play the game the same way that we do. And I got a response of, no, I will not do that, sir, and you can lick my ass. That was a response that I got there. And just for saying, please listen to a woman one time. Like, and that well, and is the kind tamest of, possible comment.
That's the kind of response, I think, that makes it so that men don't want to say something. Because that's the thing. You can, like, you can ignore and block. And men ignore and block. And they'll say, like, oh, yeah, when I see it in my stream or whatever, I block the person. But it's like... It's not enough. Like what we would really like you to see or would like to see from people who are in the community, men, women, whatever, doesn't matter. Everybody, we want everyone in the Hearthstone community to say, hey, dude in chat, this comment, not okay. And here's why. Stand up, be an ally, say something. And that response that Hat got to that tweet is the reason why a lot of men don't say something is they're like, I don't want to be seen as a white knight. I don't want to, you know, take all the crap that I'm going to get for standing up for women. It's like, but we take that every day, all the time, every single time that we are out there tweeting, streaming, making content, being on YouTube, doesn't matter. Anytime we put content out there, we're getting that back. Like we're getting those kind of comments. We're getting those rude exchanges. And if it is you're on every afraid game too. To get
this
it,
is not just Hearthstone.
Oh, no,
either.
It's not just Hearthstone. No, it's not just Hearthstone. And if your response is, well, I don't want to be a target, we're always a target and we don't have a choice. And it would be really nice if people in the community stood up and said, this is unacceptable behavior in our community. We don't want it. You're not welcome. Get out.
It's we as men have power that we don't really realize over other men because it's super messed up how it works. I have a small story. My wife really likes Magic the Gathering. She really likes playing Magic the Gathering. And I played a lot of that growing up, and my taste for the game has definitely diminished over the years after, you know, 15 years of playing it at a high competitive level. I can't really turn that part of my brain off, and it makes me feel like an angry teenager, so I try and avoid it. But she really wanted to play, so we played a bit. So she found a play group in the city. It was almost entirely men, of course, but they seemed really nice. There's this one guy that she made friends with. He seemed really nice and they were talking and he was really friendly. And so one day I had the day off. I go in with her to the city and he acts different and he doesn't act quite the same. Apparently he was really friendly to her and like, you know, would touch her shoulder and would give her advice on deck building and all that stuff. And then when I was there, he suddenly had a new girlfriend. And her name was suspiciously close to my wife's name, but that's neither here nor there. And he definitely was more distant and he talked to other people way more. And then when I played, you know, next to her and with her and all that, like we clearly, you know, she's my wife. We clearly have good chemistry or whatever. And other people were enjoying it, but he was kind of on the outskirts. And then after that day, then they kind of stopped being friends. They kind of drifted apart. And it was pretty obvious that his interest in her was not platonic. And once I became known as a real part of her life, then that friendship vanished. And it was devastating to her because she thought she could trust and she couldn't. And this happens all the time, that it's just a means to an end for some guys. And these circles are not safe for women. They are not safe. You can't trust anybody. You never know who's really your friend. And it's messed up.
Well, and it makes it hard to go in and participate then, right? Which to kind of like bring it back to everything that we've been talking about is just why representation is important. And it's because the more women that you see in a scene and doing the thing that you want to do, the more welcome you're going to feel. Because, I mean, you know, your wife's experience is something that I've also experienced of, you know, like trying to break into these different groups and these communities and stuff. And like, you're always looked at weird and, you know, you never know who you're safe with. You never know who you can trust. And even people that you think that you are safe with and that you can trust, it can turn out that that's not true. And it's, you know, like you emotionally invest into a community and then all of a sudden you can't hang out with that same group of friends anymore. Or, you know, like you can't do the things that you wanted to do because someone has created this unsafe. I don't want to say unsafe space because, you know, obviously like safe space has all these like connotations in our society now, but like talking about like being actually like physically unsafe, which is something that like a topic that's very near and dear to my heart now, but it's like, it's just the kind of thing where sometimes I don't think people understand how difficult it is to enter a room when you're the obvious odd one out. I'll put it that way. And, you know, you don't feel like you have anyone else there that you can kind of feel safe with, or that you can, you know, potentially have something in common with, even an icebreaker in a conversation. A lot of the times you feel like when you enter those rooms that you are like being spoken about behind your back. There's a lot of just kind of inherent hostility, a lot of like literal backs will be turned to you, like, and the ones that aren't are being super creepy. Like, it's a lot of real unwelcoming spaces in like not only the Hearthstone community, but, you know, just I mean, even society at large. And it gets exhausting, guys. It's really, really tiring.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, we've had a lot of these conversations, I guess more me listening to you tell me about these events, because I don't have these experiences. And so, like, case in point, it's just so exhausting and disappointing when another invitational comes around and just keeps making the same mistake, things that have been brought up before. I don't know. Do we want to talk about the tweet now?
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should, because and I haven't read the tweet, but I think I've seen a couple of things flash by in the chat room. So, I mean, like, I think that this is actually a perfect example of men in the community doing the right thing. And I'm glad that they did, because I really think that Blizzard has dropped many a ball in the last, like, I mean, I feel like I've done my part and many other women in the community have done their part over the past year to bring these things up to Blizzard, and nothing seems to change. So this is a perfect example of like men taking the initiative within the community to say, I don't need this opportunity, give it to somebody else. And I very much appreciate that, because as far as I know, again, it's mostly stuff that's been flying by in the chat room. So sorry, guys, if I get it wrong or if I haven't seen it. But I guess Regis and Crip both dropped out of the invitational to give their spots up. And I think was it Luna? And I didn't catch who the other one.
Evelyn.
Evelyn. OK.
Yeah.
That are going to be featured in their place. So.
Yeah, so Luna, you might know her as Bloody Face, and Evelyn will be in the Invitational now after, yeah, it says right. So I'm just going to read the tweet verbatim. We have two new participants for the Crossroads Invitational. Welcome Luna and Evelyn to the roster, and huge thanks to Crip and Regis Kilbin for graciously offering their slots. They went on to say why we're doing this. Representation and inclusion matter, and we're committing ourselves to being better. It's vital that our events represent the reality of the Hearthstone community, made up of numerous talented and deserving women who dedicate themselves to the game every day. So this is a tweet.
Was that explanation from Blizzard or from Regis and Crip?
That was a reply from the official Play Hearthstone Twitter account to the initial announcement. So both of those were the Play Hearthstone account.
That was an official statement, yeah?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, okay. That makes it sound like Blizzard is trying to take credit for what members of the community took upon themselves to do, which I'm just going to say it. I'm not the biggest fangirl of Blizzard right now. I know we've got some Blizzard employees in the chat room, and you guys know that I love you, and you guys have been super supportive. I mean, Cora especially. I don't know if she's still here, but she was like my rock in a couple of really difficult times. And like, I have so much love for you guys. But man, Blizzard shit the bed. And it's so frustrating. Oh, I said I wasn't going to do this. God damn it. I was doing so well. But it just, they had the chance to do so many things so right so many times and chose not to. So I don't know. I really hope that I'm mishearing it or misreading it or whatever, but like, I want to give all of the props in the world to the community members that gave up their spot, because I think that that's really the thing that's important and needs to be highlighted here. I don't really think that Blizzard has the right to get any props for this at all. Like, the right thing to do would have been to invite them from the get go. Just like the same time last year, the right thing to do was to give Slissa a spot from the get go. Like, she's one of the best Battlegrounds players in the world. Like, she deserved to be on that stage and not as a backup, not as a fill in. So I don't know. I'm a little bit ticked off at the company at large right now. I'll be honest, not that I think you
need validation to feel the way that you feel, but like, I share your thought. Like, we went through this with the Battlegrounds invitation already, and it feels like no lessons have been learned or no commitment has been kept. So yeah, I share the feeling that it's like, why did we even need to have this conversation in the first place? Again, with an invitational.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, I'm in all of these conversations, I'm not talking about GM or the esports side of things. I'm talking about when Blizzard is doing community.
I'm sorry, invites. I'm not saying that you are. I've just seen obnoxious, but let me interject a thing that has nothing to do with the conversation being had. I've seen that a lot this week, and so I'm interjecting it because I'm so sick of reading it. No, I'm not saying that's what you're saying. No, I'm just,
I just don't think that the company itself gets any props for the way that the Crossroads Invitational is turning out. I give all the props in the world to Crip and Regis for stepping aside and giving up their spots. They didn't have to.
The prize pool is insane. It is massive. And so, like, beyond everything we just talked about, that's a lot of potential money to walk away from. So that's like, that is so big of Regis and Crip. So good on them. And, I don't know. not meant to be funny. I'm literally just out of things.
You're spent. I get it.
Yeah. I'm just exhausted, and yeah, I had some tweets this morning. I said I've been mildly harassed after getting in on the conversation with tweets with Cora, with Slissa, with Sunglitters, and I've seen what I would refer to as an overabundance of harassment in their replies. So it's just like, if I'm like exhausted and annoyed by the people coming at me just for getting on the conversation, being like, yeah, this is kind of bullshit, like, what everyone else is going through is just so completely uncalled for. So,
I'm not just tired of talking about this. I'm tired of this happening to my friends, and I despise how often we have to have this conversation. I will have it every single day if it means that a woman can feel more welcome for 1 second, but we shouldn't have to have this conversation anymore. And gaming while in the possession of boobs should not be any different from gaming otherwise. It should just be playing video games. It doesn't matter what else is going on, but it does matter, unfortunately, and it needs to just not be a thing.
I don't know. I guess I'm thankful for our community, because like we said at the top, we're fairly insulated from this because y'all are awesome and really respectful. And when you do talk shit, it's because I suck at Hearthstone and Bring It On. Like, that's why you should talk shit. Well, maybe not.
Well,
I'm not
thing,
advocating
right?
like, for shit talking because of performance, but like, I don't know.
Well, but I think, Hat said it earlier, and I think it's a really important point, is that like, I don't want to be having these conversations. I just want to talk about Hearthstone. Yeah. Literally every woman who has come forward in the last week just wants to play the game. We all just want to play the game. Like, and we want to be accepted for playing the game. And we want to talk to you guys about what's in your deck and what your tech cards are and who won the last GM match. Like, those are the conversations we want to have. We don't want to be sitting here talking about all the horrible things that have happened to us over the years, because there's a lot of horrible things. And that's just not what we want to do. Like, Nicolina was talking about it on her stream and how she's never shared a lot of what's happened to her over the course of her Pokemon TCG and then into like Hearthstone, is because like, we don't want to talk about it. We just want to talk about the game. And that's really what it comes down to, is we just want to be accepted as players in the space. And we want to talk about Hearthstone. That's it.
Well said.
So you let's talk about strategy.
I was about to say, do you want to talk about Hearthstone?
Let's just 180 this. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I am done.
Yeah, there. That's a lot. It's a lot. So let's. I mean, so now is probably as good a time as ever to talk about Hunter, seeing as how well it treated you, Joss. So other than it being a good matchup against Mage, what were some other things you like really stood out to you on your in the craziest win percentage I've ever heard of?
Well, I mean, it's not that out there. There's definitely a lot of pro players that have win rates like that every month getting up to legend.
So I had the last time I had a win rate like that, it was the first week of Totem Shaman with Eyesore, but it fell off a cliff at rank 3.
That was one thing.
You stopped drawing Lightning Bloom, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Or Eyesore, one or the other. I needed both, and yeah, missed one. But
but yeah, I mean, like it was a really good deck to climb with, and I think probably still is. It did fairly well against like everything that I was seeing, with kind of the exception of Token Druid. Token Druids were rough, but not very prevalent, I guess. I only faced a couple of them. Like, the vast majority of my matches were up against Mage. So, but I felt like I had a shot against almost everybody. And
a piercing shot?
Or
an arcane shot?
Did you draw cards after the shot? Oh, you mentioned quick shot. I'm sorry.
But yeah, it had a really, really good run. I did really well in the mirror as well, which I think was a lot of the reason behind why I was able to climb so successfully, is that I was basically seeing like Hunter, Mage, Paladin, Druid. And in the mirror specifically, like, you have to be more aggressive than you think. It's like whoever starts the damage is then probably going to finish the game.
isn't it an interesting matchup? It's the closest I have felt in a long time, and I'm sure I've mentioned this about an aggro matchup in the past, but it's the closest thing I've experienced to Zerg versus Zerg since I stopped playing StarCraft II. It is just this razor's edge of, will my board stick and my opponents won't? Because if the answer is yes.
Yeah, and it's like there's a lot of like intricacies to the mirror, because there are like some specific cards that you, or some specific minions that you want to make sure just do not stick on the board. There's other ones that you really don't care about. And then there's also points in the game where you want to, because a lot of your cards will make little 1/1s. And you have to make sure that by the time you're kind of around like turn 5, or if they're on the coin, then 4, you have to be really careful not to put down a 1/1, because that thing is going to get trampled and that's going to hurt your face. So like there's a lot of like in the mirror specifically, there's a lot of little like intricacies that I had to learn. And I kind of lost some mirrors early because I was very much like, I got to get everything off the board. Every minion that they put down is damaged and I got to clear, clear, clear. And then I realized how much damage I was sinking into their boards. And I was like, if I just hit their face, they're going to die faster. That's good for me.
Put that on my tombstone. Put that on my tombstone. That's just how you live life. That's just how you live life. It's in the Hunter mirrors, there's this feeling, and this has gone back years and years and years in Hunter mirrors, of there's a turn where you end by pressing your hero power and you're at like 24 and they're like 15 and you know the game is over in 2 turns. Or if you're on the receiving end of that, when you see them press the hero power to end the turn, you're just like, I'm dead, aren't I?
Yeah.
You just kind of know it. And so in the olden days, back in my day, that ended when the first player stuck a high main while they were ahead. If you were in the Hunter mirrors and they stuck a high main first and you're like, oh, I just died, huh? And so now it's not that. It's more like, do you stick the Rhino? Did the Thelma go face? Are these Kolkar lands? And those are kind of the indicators.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, like I said, with the creating one ones and things, having those on your board when they're going into a rhino turn, it's very, because then, you know, they've got this thing that has like five health left after they've run it into your little one one, maybe more if they've managed to hit two of those, pull them out of your deck, dudes. I can't remember any of the names of any cards.
Warsong Wrangler.
Wranglers, that's it. So, if they've managed to get two Wrangler buffs, then, you know, those rhinos are huge. And they've just run over a 1-1, which means anything you do back to them, whether you hit them with your own rhino or whether you're piercing shot, you're not getting that same face damage through that they did when they played their first one. So, and yours is probably dead, right? Like, they had one that stuck on the board with a lot of health, so your stuff isn't going through to their face. And yeah, it can get, that's pretty much the point where, like, if they stick like a 5 or 6 health rhino, you're like, well, that's that.
Yeah. It's like trying to use a mop bucket to keep the tide from coming in. Like, you can't do anything with that. Yep. And how many times did you find yourself piercing shotting your own 1-1? How often did that come up?
Oh my God. I thought that I was just like a big brain galaxy plays. And I did that. I was like, it's like I have kill command back. or the other thing that I absolutely loved, it only happened to me like once or twice. I would get into games against priests or warlocks and they'd cast hysteria on my rhino. And I'm like, you idiot.
Oh yeah. That's how I got legend with this deck.
GG.
I got legend with this deck the same way. I was against a priest opponent that was clearly learning how that interaction worked, yeah. Where they just hysteria'd my rhino, took 9, gave me a wow. And then, yeah. And that was it.
And just left. Yeah.
So well, wait,
it feels like they're embarrassed to stay in the game at that point. They're just like, Oh no, not quite what was planned. Concede.
Okay. So Rogue got Avisa Wait with Wicked Stab, and now Hunter has Kill Suggestion?
Yeah, basically.
Is that what you're telling me?
Offer you can't refuse.
Kill, yeah, because, I wasn't asking.
We're gonna need you to come in on Saturday.
Kill Voluntold.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah, so anyone who doesn't know the interaction, are you guys done? Good? Got all your puns out of the way?
No, absolutely not. This particular line of thought, yes, there will be more. There are always more puns. Oh, how many times did Barack find Michelle? Because Mancrick on 3, Barack on 5 is so powerful.
It is super, super powerful. And like, I don't know if it's people like not understanding that that's how that works, or that the deck was built with like no 3-cost spells. So okay, the only 3-cost spell.
100% took me way too long to realize that's what you're supposed to be doing. And I was on
You don't have any other 3-cost spells, so it pulls the 3/10 every time and it goes face. So yeah.
And you draw a card.
And you draw a card, yeah, because it's one of those cast when drawn effects.
Although I think I've won at least 3 games where I just needed Barack to draw Arcane Shot and it happened and I won the game. So yeah.
Well, that's the other thing too, is most of the time you're gonna draw 2 damage spells from that, right? So
I call that Barack finding my stimulus.
But yeah, so I mean there is that interaction too that's really powerful. There's quite a lot of powerful kind of swingy plays, I guess, in this deck, and that often allow you to either overwhelm the early game and just have a big board. And it seems like it's not that big of a deal because most of the time you're dealing with just a bunch of 1/1s. But I mean, if those connect, like if you've got 5 or 6 on the board and they connect even twice, like that's 10 damage and it happens really fast. So, and then you've got this kind of like early mid game, I guess, with the rhinos and the piercing shot and, you know, and the, like we mentioned, the Mancrick and his wife coming out and him being real mad about it because, you know, she's all and stuff. But yeah. it's a pretty solid deck, and it's not too tricksy. Like I said, off the top of the show, is that I didn't have to learn crazy rogue things to win games.
Indeed, do not need to learn crazy rogue things, but
low APM requirement. If you had to add Nazdormu to a deck, this would be a good one.
Absolutely.
Definitely be more of a detriment to your opponent than it would be to you.
Yeah.
Until you hit the mirror and then you just feel like, no, I need to actually think for a second. Hold on.
Yeah. I was definitely like frantically clicking at boards a lot, like just like all over the board, all over the sand for no reason. Cause I was just like, oh my God, hurry up, hurry up. I just want to kill you and move on. Let's go. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Play your turn. What is, why are you taking so long? Then I'd be like, card, 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 end turn, go.
A true face hunter after my own heart.
Yeah, that's really the key to the meta, is how many times can you click a board during your opponent's turn?
So at the time of recording this podcast, with all of Hat's favorite caveats for looking at win rates on aggregate websites, the Face Hunter deck list that I've been running, which was at the suggestion of Jocelyn, which was at the suggestion of Ridiculous Hat, look at us, our Russian stacking doll of, but we come out of hats instead of dolls. has a 66.9% win rate since the last balance patch with 37,000 games played. I think it's doing okay.
Seems good.
I think it's still doing okay. Even though I think much early in the program, I said, hey, you're not going to just hit mage every time. So but you're still fine. It looks like some of its worst matchups, appear to be, secret Librem Paladin.
I didn't necessarily find that matchup to be too difficult.
And it's but close.
Yeah.
It's close to a 50%.
It's more so that you have to ride the line in that matchup between being aggressive enough to kill them before they can get Librem of Hope down and not too aggressive so that you leave too many things down for them to kind of like buff and get out of control and basically outrace you. But it's actually really hard for them to do that. You also kind of have to pay attention to how many cards you play during a turn because you don't want to trigger their taunt secret, right? You want everything that you put down to be able to hit them in the face. And so if you kind of really pay attention and choose your cards wisely, it's a very winnable matchup. But I think if you just kind of like try to blindly hit face, you're probably going to have a hard time. But I think like, even just denying them like a hand of a doll target in the first like two or three turns, like they can buff whatever they want on turn 4, 5, 6, because again, as long as you haven't triggered their taunt, they're going to be pretty low. And as long as you can kill them before they get the Librem down, then you're going to be in a really good spot. So I usually found that even by the time they hit turn 5 and they put down their taunt Librem price reducing guy, I didn't even need to run anything into them anymore. Like I was very much just like using my like quick shots and my arcane shots and stuff and just hitting them in the face and hitting my hero power. And they were down to like 10 life by that point too. So I think you just have to be aware of what they're trying to do, which is kind of like generic Hearthstone advice. Like be aware of what your opponent's trying to do and kind of counter it with your plays, which also helped. I played a lot of Paladin in the first half of the season before the nerfs. So I was very familiar with how that deck played. So
yeah, especially since like what you're concerned about is like the Librem stuff coming online and making too large of threats for you to actually power through, right?
Right.
Because that's been playing the same since that archetype started working.
Yeah, basically, I mean, if they get a Librem of Hope down, you lose. Like
it's painful. It's very, very painful.
Yeah, it's too big. The taunt's too big and the heal's too much. So
coined a new phrase, by the way, because like while this deck has plenty of damage that can go over, like we always talk about damage going over. Do we need to start talking about damage going through? Because that's what's freaking happening with Piercing Shot and Trampling Rhino.
Yeah. You just kind of run him over.
Yeah, it's really satisfying too, I find, to like use the Rhino, kill something off, and also still get damage through to the face. Like it's a satisfying card to play.
This is also a matchup where Rinling's Rifle is fantastic.
I know.
Freezing traps, so good.
Yeah, every single time that I played that card, I could hear Garrett in my head being like, see? See?
But were you not a Rinling's Rifle believer?
This was the first ever instance of hashtag Garrett was right.
Yeah.
Except this time it was hashtag Garrett was Rinling.
I very much,
how was that not Garrett was Rifle?
I think that was a half-cocked pun.
Rightful? Should it be right? We'll figure it out. We'll work on it. Josh, you were saying?
That I was listening to Regis just before we recorded the show where we talked about Rifle, and I was very much in his headspace where I thought, you know, like it's expensive. Like, why wouldn't I just like run the secrets that I want in my deck? But it turns out flexibility is actually really helpful. Specifically, like you were saying, I would choose like Explosive Trap if I was up against a Token Druid, where I would choose Freezing Trap if I was up against a Buffy Paladin. So the flexibility there was really important. And it was more so that I was looking at it and I was like, you know, like, only 2 durability, only 2 attack. I'm paying 4 for this, like, you know, true silver even. Like, I kind of wanted it to be like a 3-2. And I also thought that Eaglehorn Bow interacted with secrets in a better way. That would maybe be like, I was kind of thinking of putting Rindling's Rifle in like a secret deck. And I was like, but why would I do that when, you know, Eaglehorn is just better? And yeah, so that was kind of in my headspace. And Garrett was like, no, this thing's going to be great. And Garrett was right. Rindling's and I was wrong.
Rifle and, is yeah. your secrets.
Yeah.
Why dilute? Like, yeah, I mean, now actually it's funny because like post the, I just keep calling it the Paladin weapon. I cannot remember the name of the damn sword.
Sword of the Fallen, which is now Sword of the Fallen. I can't get up.
It's not
sword of the still
bad.
Totally good.
It's fine.
Yeah. Sword of the kind of injured. I don't know. It's still totally like a reasonable card to play, which is kind of how they're balancing now, right? They're clipping things. They're not destroying things, mm-hmm. except Deck of Lunacy, which is pretty bad now.
If the history of Hearthstone has taught us anything, is that we want to play secrets, but we don't want to play secrets.
We want to have secrets. We don't want to pay for secrets.
We don't want to pay for
unless
them,
you're a rogue with Hanar. And man, let me tell you, as a person that enjoys a rogue, I can't wait for Hanar to rotate out, because playing against that card is incredibly frustrating. It's just secrets for over and over and different secrets. And they can be any kind of secrets. You don't even know what secrets are in standard anymore. And maybe it's a Flame Ward, or wait, Flame Ward rotated. It's an Oasis ally. They have the water elemental. What happened? So anyways, outside of rogues, no one wants to pay for secrets, but they want to have secrets. And so Paladin did that. They were a little too good. The second Oh My Yogg was the tilter. The first one was fine, whatever. But yeah, it's Paladin, like, still good. Face Hunter, I think, now is slightly unfavored there. You'd rather play against the lower curve aggressive build than the bigger Librem of Hope build, which is a good thing. Well, we don't really want to face Priest.
It should be, right? Like, you put a card like Librem of Hope. I guess there's so many Librems I should specify. But you put Hope in your deck because you want to win matchups against aggressive decks. Like, that's why it's there. It's like an anti-aggro card. So,
yeah.
It's working as intended, and I think it should be powerful, and it should be a game ender against someone who's just trying to punch your face in like I was.
Yeah. Like, if you're playing that card, you want 3 things. You want heal, you want bubble, you want taunt. So you get heal, bubble, taunt, and then like, and the hunter's like, I don't like any of those things, I'm going to go. And that's really it. Yeah. And really, I feel like the meta has started to revolve around Face Hunter and Paladin more than anything in terms of what people are playing, because Face Hunter has been so dominant right after the nerfs. And so now you see the growth of a bunch of different archetypes that are pretty good against it. The Paladin, like, I think it's slightly Paladin favorite, not crazy, but slightly. Rush Warrior is not the matchup you usually want to see, but if you can smork them down fast, then they don't have big armor gain anymore. And
yeah,
you really don't see
lucked
priests.
I think I lucked out in a lot of those Rush Warrior games, because I don't think I lost to any of them, but I also think it was in the very, very, very early, like, even like first day of that deck kind of coming to prominence. And I don't think that they'd 100% learned how to play it yet.
and they were still playing Outrider's Axe, the 3/3 weapon that trade.
Yeah.
And people, it took me like a few days to realize there's no shield block in my deck because it's not in standard anymore. And so people were so used to face tanking with Outrider's Axe. And it's like, you know, you can't afford to take that damage. Take that card out of your deck. You can trade with your minions, but you trade with your face, you're going to die. You're going to get hit by a rhino, and then you're going to get pierced and hero powered, and you're going to die. So people stopped face tanking with weapons so much, and the warrior definitely got better. But yeah, I think you would hit legend like the right when that deck started to become a mainstream ladder contender.
Yeah, I think I only played like maybe 3 or 4 of my games in my entire climb was against that Rush Warrior deck. And it looks really cool, and I want to give it a try. But I've definitely been like, the opposite of like my rank's fallen like 2,000 slots, I think, since I got legend, because I've definitely been like anti gatekeeping. I've been like going in and just being like playing a couple turns and then going, oh, you got this. You got me. Concede. Just in case I'm the final boss for anyone hitting legend.
Gate unlocking?
Yeah, gate opener.
Wait, no, hold on. I've got it. Welcome matting.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Door holder welcome matting makes it feel like they're literally stepping on you as you welcome them to the sweet embrace of legend.
Are. You're putting them at
Okay, all right. I mean, maybe you don't love your shirts as much as I do. I was trying to give you a cleaner out, but sure, that works. That works.
We can't door hold social distancing.
I live in Florida. I don't know what that is.
Any worse or any better?
No one ever started trying here, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't want to get depressed again. Let's talk about something.
Yeah, let's talk about anything else.
Well, luckily, I'm about to get another needle in my arm soon. So,
same. Yo, wait, are you getting your second dose this week? I'm getting mine on Wednesday.
No, I got a couple weeks left, but now I can just be really perturbed at the old lady sneezing on my oranges in the produce section for normal reasons, as opposed to, you know, added anxiety. Hey, this really got off the rails. Are we really going to leave this without extolling the virtues of Kulkar Packrunner and how it is one of the most fun cards I have interacted with in years? I love this card. I love playing with this card. I love making little 1/1 hyenas. It's so good.
It's gibberling with Rush. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so good. And every time I play it, Garrett, this is why I couldn't promise you earlier I'm not going to do the Batman voice, because the Kulkar voice and the Batman voice are very similar. And every time I play it, these are Kulkar lands. You have to say it. If you don't say it, it's not the same.
I usually just say, oh, you made a big mistake when I drop this card.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really, really good card. And it's kind of nice to have, again, like those are little rushing dudes, not little charging dudes. So kind of like, again, lets you do a little bit of board control, even though you would think you wouldn't want a board control, but it kind of helps to shore up those matchups that wouldn't be great otherwise.
Yeah, the conversation took a different turn when you were talking about how you were learning, like, no, I just never trade. Make them trade for me. What am I doing? But I was going to come in and talk about Kulkar then, but you guys kind of took it in a different direction. But yeah, like, you can diet control the board. Like, control the board light, because what else are you going to do with your 1/1 Russian hyenas?
Well, and you trade so you get more damage, right? Like, this is a kind of thing where if you have a 2/1 and a 1/1 and you trade your 1/1 so your 2/1 lives, you're not really, like, you're not controlling the board. You're just waiting for your turn to face and making sure that you have as much stuff as possible. So it's really just maximizing future damage in the short term, or just making a crazy wide board out of nowhere and then dropping the Demon Companion and getting Kolek. It's always Kolek. And then you hit him for a bunch of damage in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a lot of things going on.
I consistently found one of the biggest roadblocks for me to a win was Talon Forgering coming down. I'm like, I'm ready to Rhino. And it's like, oh no, it's Divine Shield. I need to pop the Divine Shield. And the 1/1 hyenas are like always my ticket to getting that Divine Shield taken care of.
Even if you have to do it the hard way with Wound Prey, like that's pretty okay.
Yeah.
But my favorite way to bypass Talon Forgering is for my imprisoned Felma to wake up and be like, hey Talon, how's it going? Face. And just bop right over and smack him.
I must have played 10 or 15 games before I saw either mine or my opponent's Felma go anywhere but face, to the point I had to read the card. And I'm like, no, it definitely says random enemy. It's just that even when there was like three or four things on the board, it was like face.
Felma knows what he wants. I crafted mine in gold and they go face more often. That's how that works.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm a doctor. But yeah, there was a rumor thread on Reddit for a while that alleged that Felma worked differently than other RNG cards, that it was a 50-50 chance to go face or hit minions, and then it calculated the minion. And of course, if you're programming the game, you're not making a new random way to tilt people and not put it on the card. It works the same way as every other card. But when that goes face, and against mages, it's a 2-mana pyroblast. It wakes up and it's like smack. And then next turn, they can't do anything. So it's like smack. And then they can finally like combustion it or whatever. And you're like, all right, enjoy
it's already
your 10
done
damage.
It's 10 damage, yeah. Yep, good card, man.
Good deck.
Good deck.
Hey, Jinx. Canadian
You can tell we've
Coke.
Been doing this together for a while.
It's so good to have you back.
Right? Very, very good to be back. And again, thanks guys so much for holding down the fort while I was gone. You guys did a really, really great job. And Hat, I'm really glad to have you here permanently. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks. I'm so glad to be here and so glad to do like podcast with you too. Like, I liked hanging out with Garrett. I really did enjoy that. We talked about whiskey and made all kinds of inappropriate puns. But if you make an inappropriate pun and Joss isn't here to giggle, did it really happen?
Did you really make a pun at all?
I really missed out by not getting a Joss giggle sound clip before you left, Joss. Because I would have gotten a lot of mileage off of it.
Well, yeah, you just have to press it like literally every 10 seconds.
pretty much.
I can do that. My soundboard is so active. I have so many sounds on here that I'm avoiding just impulse pressing. There are so many. Like this one. All right, just one. I'm just going to treat myself. Cora suggested an idea, or someone on Reddit, of when Rattlegore gets smaller, it should have a tinier noise. So this is the 1-1 Rattlegore. That's the 1-1. That's a very so small. Good. I have the halfway size and the full size. So like over the course of an episode, the Rattlegore can shrink. I'm Garrett. These services are now freely available to you. Well, not free. You can
if I give you a bigger cut of the
services.
Patreon haul, will you not do it?
I'll take your suggestion under advisement.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, I think it's gonna wrap it up. We're getting to the end of the show here, everybody. We'll have a link to the deck list. At the moment, it is the second most played Hunter deck list on HS Replay. If you're trying to go and find it. But I'll throw a link in there. There already is a link in the notes. If you've never checked out the show notes before, there are a Google Docs link at the bottom of the blog post over at theangrychicken.com for every single episode. So if you want this for episode 413, go to the 413 post, scroll down to the bottom. There's a Google Docs link. You'll be looking at the same doc we do the show with. There's a lot of bullet points breaking down the Invitational this week. That's the majority of the doc. But... Anyways, it is going to be a long, heavy episode, and it did not disappoint in that way, but so keep your emails coming, everybody. I gave some warning to some of the Patreon messages that came in on DMs, that we probably weren't going to be getting the emails this week as, Justin was coming back, had hit legend. I didn't spoil that Hat was joining permanently, but we had a lot of announcements to talk about. We had some tumultuous news to get through. So we'll get back to emails, get back to your questions. Keep them coming. TACpodcast@gmail.com. If you are a patron, you can skip the inbox entirely. You get to go in the express line, or you can also at the hosts and just, message us right there in the Discord. Do it. Go. It's fine. We're totally cool with it. And I am totally down with an @mention. Especially when things are broken. People don't at me when things are broken. Like I messed up the show notes link and like a week later I go through and I see, I'm like, oh crap. Someone was having an issue with the show notes. At me. It's totally cool. So do I seem like an angry person? Am I scary?
Well, you are on the Angry Chicken. Okay, literally put angry in our Hearthstone or in our podcast name.
When have we really listened? Like when have we really lived up to that name? Also, the angry chicken art, that's not an angry chicken. That's a confused chicken.
We are very confused chickens.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Patreon, check it out. If you like us, you want to support us. If you don't like us, but for some reason it cannot shake the feeling that you really want to give us money, check out patreon.com/TAC. Other than that, we want to definitely thank our Patreon producers, Declan H. Cheesy Bob, and our latest producer, Jeffrey Dronenberg. If you want to become a Patreon producer, we're running out of slots. Go to patreon.com/TAC. You can catch us live Monday nights. Time to be determined on twitch.tv/amovetv. But before we go, oh, it feels so good to say this again. Jocelyn, where can people catch you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm @JossPlays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. And if you'd like to check out my general gaming podcast, you can do so over at The Gamers Inn.
Ridiculous Hat, as a perma host of the Angry Chicken. When you're not being the angriest of chickens, what other 17 Hearthstone podcasts can people find you on?
All right, I'm a top 3 angriest at best. I could not compete with either of you for first place. But you can find me gosh, I do a lot of podcasts. Here, amove.tv. You can find me on Coin Concede, coinconcede.com, or Remake the Competitive Side of the Game More Accessible to You. Also founded by one Cora Songbird, Hearthstone badass developer person. Also, by the way, speaking of Cora, it's Bee's first birthday. Please wish Bee a happy birthday. She got for her birthday a dog charcuterie platter from a company named Corgcuterie, because it's corgi charcuterie. I didn't make this up. This is a real thing. I have no involvement. It's just a real thing that happened. I'm also on the Vicious Syndicate podcast over at vicioussyndicate.com, where we bring a more data-driven approach to the game. And Hidden Aspects, my Hades podcast, is on pause for a second, but I talk about Hades over there. Yes, okay. Garrett, it's a real thing.
Hat, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy you the domain, subscribe to hat.com, and you're going to put all of your subscription information right there. How's that sound?
Just go to my Twitter. It's all in my Twitter profile, and try not to read my tweets. A bad idea.
Yes, Cora, we're talking about your dog. Your dog is adorable. Oh,
the best dog.
All right,
the
best. Next to my dog, you have the cutest dog in the world. So that your dog is fourth place because I have three dogs, and they're all adorable. And it's a fact. If you own a dog, your dog is the cutest dog in the world, and everyone else's is wherever that comes down. Oh crap, Celeste Lan, you have a Chihuahua as well. All right, listen, I love you both. This is clearly the most controversial subject that was brought up today. So I'm going
to... Yeah, you would rate dogs. Like, why did you start this conversation, Garrett? I'm going to recuse
myself and just say, if you would like to find me when I'm not doing the Angry Chicken, I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. There were enough personal anecdotes, and I really wanted to clear the room, let Joss say her piece. I made a good point about how I would like the world and communities to operate in terms of people just being dicks. Basically, don't be dicks, but like I have a little anecdote about there about growing up going to punk shows and how we used to handle people being terrible. Go see that tweet at Garrett Art, because that's how I would like to see communities policed. So anyways, that's that. Send me your favorite ska band at Garrett Art. Go to amove.tv for this podcast and every single other one that I produce. I'll be doing Into the Nexus about Here's a Storm later this week. A brand new WoW killer came out just last week. I talked to Taliesin about his thoughts on 9.1 PTR. It's all kinds of stuff. It's all at amove.tv. Go check it out. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Angry Chicken. Until next time, when all three of us will be here to talk about Hearthstone. Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I'm going to throw my hat.
Ah. That's my cousin.